It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 11th of January in this brand new year of 2025. For those of you who made New Year resolutions, you have 345 days to keep them. So let us know how you're doing with that. What was happening on this day in history? Listen to this. We have a problem over here with what we call football hooligans. Football fans who get out of hand during a match or before or after and turn violent. Well, guess what? That is absolutely nothing new. On this day in 532, you heard me right, 532, in Constantinople, there were the Nika riots, when a quarrel between supporters of different chariot teams became violent. The Nika riots were really riots, as opposed to trash can burning and window smashing, as we can get here. These riots lasted an entire week, and nearly half of Constantinople was burned or destroyed, and tens of thousands of people were killed. So much for the unifying effect of sport. Well, I guess it did unify people, but on different sides. On this day in 630 was the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet Muhammad and his followers conquered the city and the Quraysh, the association of clans who ruled the city and opposed Muhammad's mission, surrendered. Here's a festival for us, my sisters. The ancient Roman feast of Carmentalia was celebrated on the 11th of January during the Roman Empire. Carmenta was the Roman goddess who had the power to look back into the past as well as forward into the future. A good festival, as everyone knows how far-seeing we women are, right? In Japan today is the festival known as Kagami Biraki, literally opening the mirror, but understood as breaking of the moki. Moki is a sweet rice cake traditionally put on altars in Shinto and Buddhist households to honor the deities that visit on New Year's. The moki is removed from the altar on the 11th of January, broken into small pieces, and eaten. There's a modern version of the Kagami Biraki ceremony that takes place at weddings, housewarmings, the opening of a new business, or any other notable event worth celebrating. The host opens a cask of sake, fermented rice wine, and distributes the drink to the guests. And today is a national holiday in Nepal called Prithvi Jayanti, literally birthday of Prithvi Narayan Shah, the first king of unified Nepal. In the mid-18th century, he succeeded in unifying the small kingdoms which became present-day Nepal. So, don't you feel superior with all that very useful knowledge of what has happened in the world on January 11th? I know I do.
Listening to the Sound Kitchen,
where you never know what you'll be served.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome is at his mixing board behind the glass window in front of us. And our co-chef, Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister. And a Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year. Okay, old man, you've turned 63. And on New Year's Eve at that, what'd you do to celebrate?
I creaked. I creaked out of bed and it took me ages to get warm because I creaked so much. I spent the day doing not very much. And then a few people came round in the evening and we toasted the New Year in very calmly. So I was in London and it was chilled. An old school friend came and to say hello, and another friend who was just down the road, and one from up in North London came down with her partner, and we chatted and laughed, and that was really quite nice. Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
It was, yeah, you know, because obviously I can't do anything too stressful and dynamic now, because you know.
Because you're so...
I can think about it, but it's not going to happen until perhaps the week after. Yeah, it was all right. And yourself, yeah, it was all right?
Oh, yeah, it was good. What we do on New Year's Eve every year is we go to the theater. Mm-hmm. So we saw a play, which actually wasn't very good. But, but you know, it's fine and you get out and it's nice to be in a theater and see real people. And cool. Anyway, so it's fine. Okay, listen, before we get started, I want to thank all of you again for your holiday greetings. On behalf of the entire RFI English team, thank you, thank you, thank you. And as a member of the Proud Parents Club, thanks for all the sweet things you had to say about our New Year Resolution show, so beautifully hosted by Paul's son, Ruben, and my daughter, Mathilde. You can be proud, Papa. So off we go. Still to come, a quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. On the 23rd of November, I asked you a question about the legislative elections in Senegal, which were won by a comfortable margin by PASTEF, the ruling party. The win came just a few months after President Bassirou Diomaye Faye secured the presidency, pledging economic transformation, social justice, and a fight against corruption. So now the way is cleared for Faye and PASTEF to carry out ambitious reforms. May they succeed. You were to reread our article, Senegal's ruling PASTEF party on track to get large majority in elections, and send in the answer to these questions. How many registered voters are there in Senegal? How many members are there in their parliament? And for how long do those MPs serve? Paul, what's the answer?
To quote our article, Senegal's roughly 7.3 million registered voters were called to elect 165 MPs for 5-year terms. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question, what is the best thing to wake up to? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listener's Club member Kashif Khalil from Faisalabad, Pakistan. Kashif is also this week's bonus question winner. This is what he wrote about the best thing to wake up to: seeing my loving parents. Congratulations on your double win, Kashif. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Nafisa Khatun, who's the president of the RFI Mahila Shrota Sangha Club in West Bengal, India, and Nahid Hossein, who's a member of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. There's RFI Listeners Club member Sunil Dungana, who lives in Braga, Portugal. If you've listened to the Sound Kitchen for a while, you may remember hearing Sunil as a guest on the program. He's a native of Nepal, studied in the U.S., and, as he noted in his quiz entry, and I quote, "After traveling to many places, I am here for good in Portugal. I love the culture, people, and everything here." That's great news, Sunil. And I hope you found a way to celebrate Prithvi Jayanti today in your new home. Rounding out the list of this week's winners is RFI English listener Renu Sharma from Rajasthan, India, who signed her note, "Your little sister," which is very dear. Thank you, little sister Renu. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Although he doesn't have as many legal woes as U.S. President-elect Donald Trump, France's ex-president Nicolas Sarkozy is a close second. Sarkozy's trial on charges of accepting illegal campaign financing from the late Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi began this past Monday. The trial is due to last until April 10th. Old news to you, because of course you already read Melissa Shimam's article, France's ex-president Sarkozy on trial over alleged Gaddafi pact. I want you to read it again and send in the answer to this question. What was former French President Nicolas Sarkozy convicted of on the 18th of December, and what was his penalty? Again, reread Melissa's article, France's ex-president Sarkozy on trial over alleged Gaddafi pact, and send in the answer to this question. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy was convicted and sentenced on December 18th for a different crime. What was it? And what is his sentence, his penalty? You'll find Melissa's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
It was suggested by Ratna Shanta Shami from Nowgan in Bangladesh. Her question is, what do you remember about the first time you caught a fish?
Have you ever caught a fish, baby brother? I mean, like me, you're a city slicker, no. But maybe when you were away at school in the country?
No, I avoided the riverbank. I couldn't swim till quite late.
Ah.
Which, of course, has got nothing to do with fishing, unless somebody's going to fish you out of the river because you can't swim. So no, I didn't go anywhere near fishing or rods or lines, but I can appreciate people who do.
Oh, what a diplomatic thing to say. You know, my first thought was, well, I've never gone fishing. I've never caught a fish. But then I remembered I actually have. When I was about 20, I got on a bird boat to go look at some birds, and all of a sudden, the captain stopped the boat, pulled out fishing rods, and started baiting them. I was a little annoyed because I wanted to see birds and not watch guys fish, which is not really...
different.
Yeah, not real exciting. But he handed a rod to me, showed me how to throw the line out, and I immediately caught a fish.
Beginner's luck.
I ended up catching 12 fish, trout.
All right.
Freshwater fish, 12. And the best thing was is that I didn't have to put the worm on the hook, nor did I have to remove the fish. I never had to touch it.
Yeah.
And Captain Charlie cleaned those fish right up. Didn't have to do that either. And we had this delicious lunch. It was great.
All right.
So my feelings were complete surprise and a little bit of pride.
Captain Charlie
R. Yeah. And you know what? He actually had a hook on
him. And his...
Yes.
Instead of a hand?
Instead of a hand.
All right. So is that just for the tourists on the boat?
I don't know. Maybe it was covered. Maybe it was a glove hook. I don't know.
To look authentic. Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Captain Hook.
He took it off at night, I'll tell you. that'll get me a few extra dollars. Yeah, all right.
So what about you? What do you remember about the first time you caught a fish? Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. And thanks again, Ratna, for the suggestion. You have until the 3rd of February to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 8th of February to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen on RFI.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, what is the best thing to wake up to? For some, it is the realization of their faith. For Mr. Ganesan, it's Hindu devotional songs, which, as he wrote, keeps me well throughout the day. For Father Stephen Wara, it's the same. He wrote, it is the realization that I'm still a child of God and still struggling to stay faithful to my Roman Catholic faith. And it's the same for Salim Akhtar Chadha. He wrote, the thing that makes me happy early in the morning is the call of Adhan, the Islamic call to prayer from the mosque, recited by a muezzin before the start of each salah. It reminds us we are alive and we must go to the mosque and give thanks to God for his blessings.
Everything that rises must converge. That's a quote from Teilhard de Chardin, a French Roman Catholic priest, theologian, and paleontologist. Everything that rises must converge. I think that's beautiful, and I agree. I am sorry to say that Holy Mother Church, in all her wisdom, did not agree with de Chardin. His works were banned, and he was forbidden to teach during his lifetime. He died in 1955. The current Pope Francis has made a few positive comments on his work, so there's a bit more openness now. It's just too bad it took so long, but, well, whatever.
Dipita Chakrabarti likes thinking of all she can accomplish during a new day. She wrote, every day when I rise from bed, I have energy and enthusiasm to plan for the things I will do during the day. It gives me a pleasant feeling that I have a full day ahead to take care of my family, cook my favourite dishes, and go for a stroll in the park in the evening. Kripa Ram Kaga is with you, Dipita. He wrote, when I hear the people outside are busy with a lot of things, it's a good wake-up because I can quickly join them. Rodrigo Henrique is philosophical early in the morning. He wrote, dawn is symbolic to me. It represents the rise of the sun and its light after hours of darkness. The dark can lead to feeling lost or at least uncertainty. The light is symbolic of certainty. Finding out where you are, what are the exits, and who is nearby to reach for help. I usually wake up at dawn or before, and I like to observe and photograph the dawn. I've even travelled to the country, the sea, or the mountains to witness it. Clouds don't help where I live. I could send you a picture. Please do, Rodrigo. As for Radhakrishna Pillai, it's music. Radhakrishna wrote, for me, the best thing to wake up to is music. Traditional music gives me the energy and freshness for a new day. As Plato wrote, music is a moral law. It gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, a charm to sadness, gaiety, and life to everything. It is the essence of order and leads to all that is good and just and beautiful.
Ah, I'm with you, Radhakrishna. I listen to Bach in the mornings and say, yes, there is order in the universe, as well as exquisite beauty. Hey, Paul, I don't think you were here when this question came up. What's the best thing for you to wake up to?
Well, it's a family show, so I won't say. Back to the listeners, big sister. For Helmut Mutt, that incurable German romantic, it's, as he wrote, the sunny mornings when the birds sing, when the scent of summer tickles the nose, and when my wife Linda wakes up next to me because the sun caresses her eyes with its early rays, or one of the two cats bites her ear, purring. And Jana Parvin likes the birds to wake her up. She wrote, sleep is a very important thing in a human's life. Only a sleepless person knows how difficult a sleepless night is. A full sleep at the end of the day brings extreme peace to our lives and makes us refreshed and inspired. Now, how do I feel when I wake up from a good sleep? There is a tree next to my house and the birds wake me with their chirping. Without looking at the clock, I realize that it is morning, and when the sunlight enters the room, it puts me in a good mood, giving me the necessary energy or peace for a productive and joyful day. Jayanta Chakrabarty wrote, the happiest moment after rising from bed in the morning is to realize that God the Almighty has given me a chance to live yet one more day. It's a wonderful feeling to breathe the cool, invigorating autumn air, to grasp that I have a full day ahead to do the unfinished work of yesterday and to sing all my favourite tunes till my voice turns hoarse. That is what I feel after rising from sleep in the morning. Malik Mohammed Mehtab Kokar prefers to wake up via his olfactory sense. He wrote, the best way to wake up is when the smell of a wonderful breakfast that someone has prepared somewhere outside reaches me. The classic Pakistani breakfast in Punjab consists of paratha dough cakes, anda egg, achar mixed pickles and chai black tea, or a sweet breakfast with halva. We'll close with John Yemi Sande Touré, who wrote, I always wake up with the sweet Bob Marley song, Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Here's how it goes. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing gonna be all right. Rise up this morning, smiled with the rising sun. Three little birds pitched by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, what do you remember about the first time you caught a fish? And thanks again to Ratna Shanta Shami for the suggestion. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A pleasure, as always. Thank you.
It's The Sound Kitchen and Susan Owensby's cooking.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in The Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure you tune in next Saturday, the 18th of January, for the answer to the question about the climate change case in front of the International Court of Justice. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. And today he's chosen music for us from La Douce France. And a perfect way to start the new year, dancing music, sung by the Queen of the Musette, Berthe Silva. La Musette, that's the name of the informal balls frequented by the French working classes from the beginning of the 20th century up until World War II, and even beyond. But the heyday of the Musette balls was in the 1930s. After a long day of work, French workers gathered at cafes and guinguettes to waltz to the music of accordions. A musette is actually a sort of small bagpipe, and it's the instrument that originally accompanied the dance. Very popular at the courts of the French kings Louis XIV and XV, la musette was a pastoral or rustic dance, not a formal ballroom dance where courtiers could pretend they were shepherds and shepherdesses. Quite the thing at the time. By the beginning of the 19th century, the musette was replaced by a new instrument, the accordion, and the courtiers in their shepherd costumes by workers. Erwan chose for us a recording from 1930 by Berthe Silva, who in her time was the preferred singer of the French. This song, La Musette, is an homage to the long summer evenings spent dancing. It's wonderfully nostalgic, and I think it will sound to you so French. It does to me. Here it is, La Musette, written by Léo Jacques and René Fleuron, and sung by Berthe Silva. Thanks again, Erwan, for another musical discovery. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind. And stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week. C'était une vraie fleur d'amour, éclose un jour dans le faubourg. Ses jolis yeux bleus et son regard si doux rendaient les hommes amoureux fous. On la rencontrait le samedi dans les musées de Paris. Dès qu'elle entrait, fallait voir tous les copains courir pour lui serrer la main. C'était un rayon de bonheur qu'elle apportait dans tous les cœurs. Musette, brunette, jolie poupée d'amour. Quand on a valsé avec toi, on a le béguin malgré soi. Musette, coquette, on t'aimera toujours. C'est toi la reine des musettes, musette. Elle avait un bon petit corps, ses grands yeux se mouillaient de pleurs. Quand un bon copain lui disait j'ai pas le sou et je n'ai pas mangé du tout, n'écoutant que ses sentiments, Musette lui disait tendrement, prends ces quelques sous et surtout t'en fais pas, la pure et moi j'ai connu ça, je n'ai pas mangé tous les jours, aussi je m'en souviens toujours, Musette, brunette, jolie poupée d'amour. Quand on a valsé avec toi, on a le béguin malgré soi. Musette, coquette, on t'aimera toujours. C'est toi la reine des musettes, musette. Mais un beau jour, le petit Léon, un des as de l'accordéon, dit à Musette, j'ai le béga pour toi, veux-tu te marier avec moi? Musette en riant dit, t'es fou, moi me mettre la corde au cou. Quitter les amis, le bal et le faubourg, et mon quartier où j'ai vu le jour. J'aime mieux rester parmi vous, je ne veux pas faire de jaloux. Musette, brunette, jolie poupée d'amour. Quand on a valsé avec toi, on a le béguin malgré soi. Musette, coquette, on t'aimera toujours. C'est toi la reine des musettes.